and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us on the line from Mercenary Musings World Headquarters in beautiful Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulk, still licking his wounds after his beloved St. Louis Cardinals were swept aside by the Washington Nationals. How you feeling, Mickey?
I'm fine. You know, we've got our trophy for the year, won the Stanley Cup. And you know, when you really think about it, it's a crapshoot in the playoffs. So the fact that they made it and they made it through to the second round is a positive. And some years you win and most years you don't.
Okay. Well, the defending Stanley Cup champion, St. Louis Blues, your hockey team certainly off to a pretty decent start. A lot better than your football team. What's going on with the Broncos? 2-6.
They got no offense, Rob. Defense is great as per usual, but they can't move the ball. Very conservative play calling. So I watched the hockey game yesterday instead of sitting through another debacle with the Denver Broncos.
All right, Mickey. Well, I know that you and I could talk sports all night long, but we're not here to talk about sports. We're rather going to take the lead out, and we're not talking about Zeppelin. We're talking about the commodity. And, Mickey, this commodity lead has really taken off since the spring, up about 25% since May of this year. What's going on in the market right now?
Well, inventories have gone way down. So today we actually hit a 15-month high of $1.02, and it's up from 81 cents, as you said, in late May. And really what's happened is in early June, a smelter in South Australia had a furnace outage, a near star, and if you know anything about zinc and lead companies, that's one of the biggest ones. They almost went bankrupt this year until they were rescued by Trafigura, the metals trader. But this smelter went down, and it took about, annualized about 4% of the primary lead supply off the market. They got it back up running, and then in mid-August, it went down again, which created yet another spike in the price. And so really, it's all about supply at this point.
Okay, and how does the supply right now, Mickey, equate to overall market demand right now?
Lead market's in slight deficit this year. Last year, the demand was 11.7 million tons. So this is a big, important metal. It's the third most used base metal behind copper and zinc. And the supply, including mine supply and refined supply, quite a difference in numbers, but together 11.6 million tons. So it's in slight deficit in 2018, and that is continuing in 2019, although we don't have hard numbers at this point.
Okay, so the overall market, I guess you could say, is pretty tight right now, isn't it?
Well, it is tight. Not only that, but inventories are way down. So if you look at a five-year chart, inventories just keep going lower and lower. There's been some perturbations depending on the world economy and auto sales, and get into that a bit later. When the smelter went down in the second time in August, inventories on the LME, and that's all I have. I don't have world inventories.
Right.
But they reached a low, and I don't know how far back this goes because I only have five-year records, of 48,000 tons. They've since gone up. Today they are at 69,000 tons. But if you look at it, the daily demand, let's convert that annual demand to a daily demand, at 32,000 tons. So that's just a little bit more than 2 days of supply. And certainly that has contributed big time to the price increase that we've seen lately.
Okay, and in further laying the groundwork for our conversation, Mickey, just for listeners who may not be terribly plugged into the lead market, the leading producing countries are what? China, Australia, the United States, Mexico?
Yeah, and you got to throw Peru in there too. But those certainly those five countries. But China produces 48% of mine supply in 2018, and they consume 41% of the lead. So it's very important for the Chinese. As you said, U.S. is the third largest producer. There are 10 operating mines, five of which are in the viburnum trend of my home state of Missouri, the largest standalone lead mines in the world. And then the U.S. also has production in Alaska and Idaho and Washington. But we don't have a primary smelter anymore. The last smelter we had closed in 2013. That's a Herculaneum smelter in southeast Missouri. It shut down, so all of our production is smelted over outside the country, and a significant amount of that is sent to Trail BC, one of the largest mines, lead mines in the U.S. is the Red Dog mine, and that's owned by Cominco in Alaska. And of course, that's smelted at Trail and also in Asia.
Okay. All righty. Well, let's take a quick break here. Mickey, you mentioned China. We're going to mention the China factor when we come back, and also some of the major use for lead as well. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back in a second.
Okay, Rob.
Mercenary Musings Radio provides you with insight into commodities, exploration, and mining investment. But did you know we can deliver a whole lot more and it won't cost you a penny? Sign up for free to Mickey Fulp's newsletter and you'll gain exclusive access to his stock picks via his timely alerts. You'll also get thought-provoking commentary in Mickey's Mercenary Musings, weekly notification of interviews, videos, and special invitations to his speaking engagements. Become a more successful investor by signing up today at mercenarygeologist.com. Okay, Mickey, just a few moments ago, we mentioned China, the role that that country plays in the overall demand for lead. And also, let's talk about the big uses, the big consuming uses for lead. Basically, I'm reading what about 80% of the total demand is for lead acid battery production. Is that correct?
Well, I'd say it's more like 86% is the number I've come up with for 2018. And the lead acid battery is, I mean, we're all familiar with it. Every car that's on the road has one, 12-volt lead acid battery. First invented in 1859 by a Frenchman named Gaston Plante. And it was the first rechargeable battery. It's quite simple, consists of lead plates and separated by cloth or paper and dilute sulfuric acid diluted with distilled water. So very simple. Of course, since the first battery, which he made in a glass jar, we now have these sealed batteries, and they're irreplaceable because they supply the highest power density than all other types of rechargeable batteries. And that's necessary for starting a car that has an internal combustion engine.
Let's talk further about this battery use because, you know, there's a lot of publicity out there, Mickey, about lithium-ion batteries expected to replace lead-acid batteries. So,
really? I haven't heard that.
No? Okay. Okay. Okay, fill me in on
It's impossible, Rob.
Okay, give me the story then. Fill us in.
Well, we're talking about the real battery metal here. Mm-hmm. Lead is the real battery metal. And even with the purported demise of internal combustion engines for autos and trucks, every electric vehicle has a 12-volt lead-acid battery in it. Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, a friend of mine came driving through with a Tesla and stopped at my house, and we had dinner, and he showed me his Tesla. We opened up the hood, and lo and behold, I see this lead acid battery in it. And I'm going, well, what's that for? And so I started looking into it, and lithium ion batteries cannot supply a a steady low charge that you need to run all this ancillary gear on electrical cars. So think about, let's use a Tesla, and you've got to have a 12-volt battery to run the lights, the all the computers, so you can't even start the car without, because you need your computers to run, the GPS, your entertainment system, that used to be an AM radio or an 8-track player or a cassette player or CD player. Now it includes things like video and your rear view mirror or your rear view camera. You can't run any of that. Cooling and heating systems, the doors. I don't know if you've ever seen a Tesla with the Falcon doors that raise straight up. That's run off your 12-volt battery. Locks, windows, seat, trunk, et cetera, et cetera. So that's lots of current pull. And there have been some designs of lithium-ion batteries, but they're that purport to be replacements, but they are so prohibitively expensive that it's not going to happen.
Okay. Isn't there a question about weight, however?
There's two drawbacks, Rob, to lead-acid batteries. The big advantage is they are stable over a huge temperature range, and they do not freeze. You can't operate a lithium-ion battery. If you've ever tried to operate your laptop in freezing weather, it just basically doesn't work. A lithium-ion battery does not work at freezing temperatures. Mm-hmm. The real drawback to lead-acid batteries is they are heavy, and lead is toxic. But think about it. I mean, go lift your 12-volt battery out of whatever car you're driving, and it may weigh something 20, 25 pounds.
Right.
But to run an electric car, you would need a bank of those batteries. And so the weight, it becomes prohibitive. But lead-acid batteries, not only for vehicles, they're used for all sorts of power backup, hospitals, phone exchanges, public buildings, emergency services. If you have a solar panel on your house and supply electricity, you have a bank of lead acid batteries to store electricity. At this point, it is the only mass storage rechargeable battery that is functional for these sort of industrial or even household sort of storage systems.
Okay, we're going to take another break, Mickey, because there's one area that we have not discussed, and that is toxicity. Lead is poisonous. And
that it is.
That it is. And we're going to touch on that in just a second.
Okay, Rob.
He travels the globe in search of resource opportunities, and he's an in-demand speaker at investment conferences all around the world. To keep up with Mickey Fulp, also known as the Mercenary Geologist, sign up to follow him on Twitter at Mercenary Geo. You'll receive daily alerts on commodity prices, geological events, industry developments, and expert analysis directly from the field. Our 52,000 followers can't be wrong, so please join our growing Twitter crowd today at Mercenary Geo. Mickey, one area of the discussion that we have not touched on so far is the fact that lead is poisonous. How does that work against future demand for lead? Because certainly there is a clampdown on this.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to really affect future demand that much, because at this stage, lead-acid batteries are irreplaceable. The toxicity is problematic for small children mainly, and it's not much problem for adults. Unless a couple of things I can think of, if you're a fisherman and you pour your own lead sinkers and you don't and you don't do that under a hood with some sort of to suck away the fumes, you can probably get lead poisoning. The other thing I can conjure up, if you're a survivalist and you're making your own ammo, and we talked about the number one use, about 85-86% was lead acid batteries. Mm-hmm. But in USA, the second greatest use is ammunition. Mm-hmm. I guess that's not really surprising. So there are movements afoot to recycle. So we talked a bit about the annual demand of 2018, 11.7 million tons. That's a huge amount of metal.
Yep.
But about 40% of that came from new mines, and the rest of it was recycled lead. So in the U.S. and in Europe, we are at 99% recycling.
Wow.
But there is little recycling in China, the rest of Asia, and other relatively undeveloped parts of the world. So the real key here is to get the Chinese and the Indians and other parts of Eastern Asia and other third world parts of the world to recycle lead instead of just throwing it away because of its toxicity.
You mentioned sinkers for fishing. You're a hardcore fisherman. You're one of the most avid fishermen I know. You don't make your own sinkers, do you?
No, but, you know, I do know some commercial guides that make their own lead, especially when you need big lead, like if you're, I don't know, if you've ever been on a boat in the ocean fishing for salmon or halibut or anything like that, a sport fishing boat. If you've got outriggers and you're trolling, those lead balls are very, very heavy, so
right.
And they're very expensive. So I do know some commercial guides, and I presume some commercial fishermen probably pour their own lead too.
Let's wrap it up with an investing angle, which we usually do, Mickey, on these conversations. Among the bigger companies in the world that are among the largest leading mining companies producing lead, BHP, Billiton, Glencore, Teck, Cominco, to name a few. You don't buy these companies' stocks, though, just based on their lead production, do you?
Yeah.
Because this is a byproduct, really.
It's a byproduct along with zinc and a lot of, not especially the big companies, but some of the smaller lead zinc miners. They're really silver miners is what they're really after, but to get the silver, you've got to produce lead and zinc. So it's not something that I'm have ever really been interested in. You know, I did a zinc play about 3 years ago. It failed miserably. These metals just do not attract speculators, so never really considered buying a other than my one failed venture into the zinc market, and that was a play in Ireland, which would have also included some lead. It doesn't really float my boat. So,
well, let's end it there, Mickey. Good to talk to you. We'll reconnect in about a month's time.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. You can also hear Mickey's latest opinion on kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.